you a happy Mother's Day, all you ladies. Sometimes it winds up that a man winds up raising children by himself. Has to be both of them. So, happy Mother's Day to you too. Amen. If you got somebody that's willing to raise you up, whether it's one or two or 10 or 12, man, thank God. It's a blessing, amen. Have somebody willing to help you and take care of you, and particularly somebody that's willing to train you up in the ways of the Lord. That's man, that's priceless. You know, all the things in this world can't add up to a godly heritage. Because when it's all said and done, the things of this world, they're going to be burned up, they're going to be gone. And the question is, you stand before Jesus Christ, what did you do with Jesus? Do you know Him as your Savior? And we know there's works involved as far as rewards and things that we do, but heaven, your heaven, hinges on one thing. Are you born again? Not your works, not your deed, but have you trusted Jesus Christ, the sacrifice He made for your salvation? That's the question. Galatians chapter 5 this morning, we're going to pick up where we were. I don't have anything prepared for Mother's Day. I didn't think about it. Probably wouldn't have anyway. Thank God for you mothers and fathers and everybody else. But Galatians chapter 5 this morning, we'll talk about something that we all need to know about, and something that's many times is abused. I want to talk about Christian liberty this morning. We have liberty as Christians. We do, but we're going to see Christian liberty is not about you. You know how we are, me, myself, and I.
Right.
That's not what Christian liberty is about. Christian liberty is about others. Galatians chapter 5, look at verse number 13. The Bible says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh." And that's what this chapter is talking about, right? The flesh versus the spirit. "But by love serve one another. For all the law was fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." Christian liberty. Brother Luke Carpenter, pray for us, brother.
Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for John 4, Lord. I pray to you, have none of God, but none of the cross, Lord. I pray to you, have some of the little words, Lord. I pray to you, have some of the hearts and the minds of the people, Lord.
Help us, Lord.
I have a message today, Lord.
We love you. Amen. Liberty. By definition, that's freedom from restraint. A lot of people treat that as I can live like a lunatic, and live like the devil, and live like hell because I have liberty. We live in the land of liberty. That means a man ought to be able to marry a man. It's not what that means. Liberty. Patrick Henry, had to ask my daughter about this. I didn't remember who said it. I remember it was said. I just didn't remember who it said. But Patrick Henry said, "Give me liberty or give me death." And he was speaking about the formation of the country, right? And we were under the rule of England and just wouldn't be doing to being done right. And what he meant was he'd rather be dead than told how to think and live against his conscience. Religions want you to live against your conscience. That thing that's down inside of you that knows there is a God and wants to worship God and wants to serve God according to what this old Bible says, that light that God put in every man, that's not what a world religion wants, right? That's not what Catholicism wants. They want you to do what they say and follow their laws over God's word and keep the sacraments and do all these things that the Bible says cannot save a person. That's what they want you to do. That's not liberty, that's bondage. Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." You're free from all that junk. You know what? We need to live right.
We need to talk right. We need to dress right. We need to be upstanding Christians as a testimony to this world. But no matter how you live, nor how you act, nor how you dress, nor what you put into your body or onto you, to your body, if you die without Jesus Christ, hell will be your home.
Amen.
Until it's caught up and cast into the lake of fire. It's about Jesus Christ. It's not about the law. It's not about what we do as far as salvation. Religious liberty, free from the law, not bound by the law for salvation. Old Testament salvation was a faith works type salvation. You had to believe in God and offer up them sacrifices for your sins. That's what you had to do. Jesus Christ came and hung on that cross and gave His life. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, the Bible says, all them that believe. That's it. It is grace by faith in Jesus Christ and that alone. You are saved by grace. Not only that, after salvation, you are kept by the grace of God. There's things that God wants us to do as Christians. That people may see Jesus Christ in us. May see what we have that's different. And the only thing we have that's different in this old lost and dying world is Jesus Christ. If it weren't for Jesus, you'd still be in the mess you was in before you got saved. Amen. And me too. Me too. Look at Galatians 2 with me. Flip back there. Hold your place here. Galatians 2. Look at verse number 19. Galatians 2 and 19 says, "For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, dead. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." As far as the law was concerned, we died on the cross with Christ and we believed on Jesus Christ. He paid that penalty. He paid that sin, and we are baptized into His death. And ain't talking about that water pool right there, amen. As far as the law is concerned, it has no hold on us. You know the law does not affect a dead man. We're talking about that, right? It don't. Dead man couldn't care less what the law says, whether it's good or bad or right or wrong. We are dead concerning the law when we believed on Jesus Christ. The bondage of the law was abolished by Jesus Christ. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 with me. We'll be coming back here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. And verse number 13. Let's look and see what that says. 2 Corinthians 3 and 13. Speaking of Moses here, and the Bible says, "And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look at the end of that which is abolished." Moses represents the law. The law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. "But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ." They don't see Christ for who He is today. The Jews don't. They are still waiting on their Messiah, and He came and shed His blood, gave His life 2,000 years ago. "But even until this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." That law, that system of law that God gave Israel no longer binds people. It's about faith in Jesus Christ. The Catholic institution and the Pope are a lie. They're Antichrist. They tell you you're still bound by that legal system. Offerings and sacrifices, and when you take the communion, that cracker actually turns into the body of Jesus Christ. And when you drink that wine, it turns into the actual blood of Jesus Christ. And if you don't partake in that, you can't go to heaven. And that their laws and their canon and their bulls take precedence over the Scriptures, God's holy word. They are a lie. The law, keeping the law, deeds of your flesh cannot save your soul. Can't be done. Look at what our scripture said this morning back in Galatians chapter 5. He said, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty." Liberty. "Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." You know what liberty is? Serving other people. That you as a Christian, even though all things are lawful, all things are not expedient, the Bible says. Putting others before ourselves, that's Christian liberty. It says in verse 14, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." You know what you do if you love your neighbor? You will not walk next door and break into his shop and steal his stuff. You just ain't going to do it. Not if you love him. Now, if you don't love him, you might go there and get his stuff. That's what the law says. It's fulfilled in love is what it's fulfilled in. If you love your neighbor, you are not going to covet his wife and send her flowers and try to run off to Mexico with her. Not if you love your neighbor. You ain't going to do it. That's what the Bible says. The law is fulfilled. You love your neighbor as yourself. Who don't love yourself? Loving ourselves is not a problem in 21st century America. Amen. That's not the problem. We love some of ourselves. Verse 15 says, "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another." Ain't it hard enough trying to live a Christian life in this old dark world without backbiting and fighting amongst the brethren? This world hates you anyway. If you're saved and love God and you're taking a stand, what this Bible says, this whole world hates your stinking guts. It's hard enough. Amongst God's people and in God's church, it shouldn't be so. We should prefer another before ourselves. Not backbite. The verse says that you be not consumed one of another. Just eating one another up. Eating one another up, consuming one another, backbiting, tattling, tailing. It just shouldn't be so. Not down at the church house. The church house ought to be the place that all that stuff gets left at that door. Amen. This is God's house. I understand all about the temple and God meeting and we are the temple. We all understand that. But when we come down to the church house, all that worldly mess should be left at the door. It should be love for our Savior, love for one another, and preferring another before ourselves. That's the way the Bible says it ought to be. That's Christian liberty. We have liberty to do that. And even though we could say and do things, we put those things aside for the benefit of others. That's Christian liberty. If I have liberty, and all things are lawful, I'm not bound by the law anymore, how should I live? That's a good question, isn't it? That's a good question. We know that this King James Bible are the words of God. We know that. We got a leg up on most Christian people. Most Christian people don't understand, haven't been taught it. They've heard all their life something different. They don't understand that. We understand that. But it's still a good question. How should I live? We should live according to the Word of God because of love for God and for others. How should I live? You know what God's gracious enough and merciful enough to do. When we got saved, the Holy Spirit of God came and indwelt every believer. I don't care if you're 6 years old when you believe, or 66 or 96, when you believed on Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came and indwells the believer. And that Holy Spirit takes these scriptures, and the Bible says that He will lead and guide you into all truth. All truth. Not some truth. A lot of people have some truth. Hey, some people that believe that the King James Bible is the Word of God and that's all they use, and they're at church this morning rolling around the floor barking like a dog. sad, but it's true. I'm not talking about some foreign country. I'm talking about in Richmond County this morning. You know what Christian liberty is? Christian liberty is not my will, but God's be done.
That's right.
Man, that's a mouthful, ain't it? I do things sometimes before and sometimes after the fact, and I thought, there is no way that's what God wanted me to do. And I know y'all don't do that, so I'm going to talk about myself this morning. I know y'all ain't never done that. Poor Brother James, he's so sad. He is. He's just a sad case. Not my will, but God's be done. That's what Jesus said in the garden, didn't he? He knew what he was about to have to go through. He knew what was coming. He could see it. He even said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But before he left that garden, he said, not my will, but thine be done. That's tough, isn't it? Not the things we want. Not the desires that we have. Not what we want to do. Not where we want to go. But God's will be done in our life. That's Christian liberty. Say, that ain't liberty. No, that is liberty. Anything else is bondage. Anything else is bondage to yourself. Bondage to this world. Bondage to your flesh. We're going to talk next couple weeks about walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh. You know, this isn't satisfying to many people. It's not enough thou shalt and thou shalt not, and not enough thou shalt wear this and thou shalt not wear that, and thou shalt eat this. And I still can't get everything people want to eat catfish and shrimp. Man, have you lost your stinking mind? You want to eat shrimp? You gonna keep the law? He didn't say it, but I guarantee there's some shrimp in that sheep that got let down for Peter. I guarantee there was some sheep in there if you could look inside of it. But that's what people believe. That's what they believe. They have to do these things, and they enjoy that. And you know why they enjoy it? Because it gives them some sense of achievement. That somehow I've done some things that I've helped God out with my salvation. And somehow I've helped God maintain my salvation. Like a stinking car or a generator. We was talking about changing the oil in your car this morning. If you don't maintain your car and change your oil, it's going to quit. If you've been born again by the grace of God, they can't nothing or nobody make your salvation quit. It's going to come to pass. If you lose your mind, and we're going to see here in a minute, if you lose your mind and don't want to go to heaven, if you've been saved, there ain't nothing you can do about it. You're going home to hell. That'll separate the brethren right there. That statement will separate the Bible-believing independent Baptist brethren. That you're going to go to heaven no matter what you want to do if you've been saved. Because you're in Christ.
That's right.
Salvation is a choice that every individual must make.
Yep.
Choice of free will. But after you call out to Jesus Christ with a true heart and you're saved, you're born again by the grace of God, the Bible says you are in Christ. And you ain't getting out. Now, there's some people that name the name of Christ and they depart and never were born again. I understand all that, you do too, but the fact of the matter is, you don't know if I'm saved. You might highly suspect that Brother James is saved. Some of you might highly suspect that I ain't. I don't know. But you don't know for sure that I'm saved, and I don't know for sure that you're saved. But there's one that does know. It is God Almighty. He ain't going to make no mistakes. And when you're in, you ain't getting out. So you might as well enjoy it while you're here and try to get other people in also. Amen. How do we do that? We put others' wants and needs and desires and God's will before our will. That's Christian liberty. You know what Christian liberty does? Christian liberty does things that doesn't want to do. And it doesn't do things that it does want to.
That's right.
For the benefit of others. We've all got things we do around here. And if you say I'm always chomping at the bit and eager to do what I'm supposed to do, I believe you just a stank lie.
Yeah.
I just believe that. If you're doing anything, there's times that you don't feel like doing what you know you're supposed to do. There's times we're like that because we're in our flesh. And we get weak and we get tired. But we do it anyway. Because we're putting other people and God's will before ourselves. I love to teach Sunday school. I love it. I am a blessed man. I ain't married, but I am highly favored of the Lord. Amen. I get to teach Sunday school. But there's times in nursing home services, I have to kick myself in the hind end to get up and go down there. It's just not as enjoyable to my flesh. But you know what? It's a needful thing. And it's part of what God's called me to do. And I believe it's God's will for these other men and all of us that do the things we do to do what we do. And it's for the benefit of others, not for ourselves. In things that are not sin, we should put others first. What's the old thing about joy, Jesus, then others, then yourself? That's kind of like when people talk about Yahweh. That's about like that spelled backwards, ain't it? What's that mean, Yahweh? Joy, Jesus, others, and yourself. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's see what Paul said about this thing a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. Paul's speaking here about meat. Offer to idols. They would offer this meat, these sacrifices to these idols. And then you get them at a discount, amen?
Yeah, right.
Y'all don't shop that discount meat rack, do you? I like that thing. Like the discount baker rack. They say that bread is old. Ain't nothing wrong with that bread. It's just half price. Ain't nothing wrong with that. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verse number 9. Paul's speaking about this meat, and people were buying this meat and eating, and some people were offended by it, and some people needed it. It's just meat, man. That's the thing of idol ain't nothing. This is just some good ribeye, man. But some people, that thing offended their conscience. That's what they believe. But look what Paul said about it. Look at verse number 9. It says, "But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak." You know, just because we have liberty, we should never let our liberty and what we say and do become a stumbling block to other people. Look at verse 10. "For if any man see thee, which has knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ." Look what Paul said about it. He said, "Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend." Paul said, if this thing bothers my brothers and sisters, he said, I will go vegan. Man. That sounds awful, don't it, vegan? It don't even sound good, does it? Vegan. That's what Paul said, though. He said, if me eating this meat offends my brothers, he said, as long as this world stands, I will not partake. He was willing to give that up, give up that meat, which he knew was perfectly fine, nothing wrong with it, wasn't affecting him one bit. He had that knowledge. He was willing to lay it down and give it up so he wouldn't offend the conscience and harm the spiritual walk of his brothers and sisters. Well, that's a blessing, isn't it? somebody willing to give something up. Liberty does not embolden others to sin against their conscience. We know we have to have a balanced Christian life, right? We know that. Talk a lot about balance. You know what? The Catholics, they are what they are. They gonna eat that stuff and drink that stuff and wear that stuff and rub them beads. They just gonna do what they gonna do. The charismatics, they gonna do what they gonna do. The holiness, they gonna dress the way they dress and act the way they act. You know what? They are what they are. We don't put ourselves in bondage to ease people's conscience. But if there's something that's gonna offend our brother and sister that we can do without it, you know what we need to do? According to what the Bible says, we need to put it to the side and do without it. Just put it to the side and do without it. Paul spoke about this even more. Turn to 1 Corinthians 10 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Look at verse number 23. 1 Corinthians 10 and 23. Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. Eating that meat wasn't going to send him to hell. He knew it was offered to I. That man was saved. He said, all things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. That don't mean you're going to get somebody else's money. That's not what I'm talking about. That's what the TV preaches. That's their favorite verse, probably. Seek another man's wealth. Amen. That means edifying another, seeking another man's benefit. Another person's uplifting, edification, another person's strengthening. Look at verse 25. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast and you be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Look at verse 32. Give none offense neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men and all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Do what your conscience allows by the word of God, but don't offend others. If you go to somebody's house and they slap a beard out in front of you, you know what? That's wicked, that's sin. That's not what this is talking about. It's going to change your mind. It's going to change your heart. It's wicked. You got no business partaking of it. But if it's something you can lay aside and lay your knowledge aside and help someone else and uplift someone and strengthen someone. You know what the Bible says in Proverbs 18 and 19? It says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. You know, I think of that verse, and I believe it's the context of it, speaking of doing something wrong to someone. Doing something out of the way, and hurting someone's feelings. I believe the context of it, that's what that is. And so the brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. But why can't that be offending someone's conscience also? You offend someone's conscience and lead them to something that's against their conscience, even though you know there's nothing wrong with it, and it's right for you, and it's lawful for you, if you knowingly lead someone astray, what if someone winds up back out in this old world because of something we say or do or partake in? What if somebody gets out of church and winds up back in the world and winds up in the same stinking mess they were in before because we misuse our liberty as Christians? There's certain things that I don't do and places I don't go personally just because it was not a good testimony. And I could go to those places and partake in, and it wouldn't affect me not one bit. I'm going to go right home to heaven. Not only that, I'm probably going to continue right on serving the Lord. But somebody else might not. It might embolden someone to do the same things and affect them in a negative way and lead my brother astray. And it's not right. Try to think of an example here. And I was just pondering this thing. And I thought about Sundays. We worship on Sunday, which is not the Sabbath. And I've heard people get up and say, "Lord, thank you for this Sabbath day." And if they mean a day of rest, I'm with them, right? But the Sabbath was a day that God gave to the nation Israel, a covenant between Him and them, the last day of the week, which is Saturday on our calendar, right? But I believe Sunday should be a day of rest. Y'all know, I've said it before, I hate the stinking work. I'm going to get all the days of rest I can. Much less God done told me to take one. I'm certainly not going to miss that one. I thought about Sundays. We don't do much on Sundays. We go home, eat a little lunch, lay around, we sleep it off. Maybe watch a little Petticoat Junction. Sit on the front porch and rock and drink a cup of coffee or tea. That's what we do on Sundays. I believe that's what we should do. My convictions for myself and my family is that's what we do. Some people don't believe that. Help yourself. Some people get out of church, get something to eat, and they hit the lake for a couple hours. Romp up and down, but help yourself. Some people ride four-wheelers and help yourself. Some people do all kinds of different things on Sunday that we don't do. You know what? If you go to work on Sunday, when you show back up Wednesday, we ain't going to stone you to death. It ain't the Sabbath. It's a day of worship set aside by God. We need to make some kind of effort according to our conscience, according to what this book says, to please God. But now, if you know what I believe, and you a motorcycle four-wheeler guy, and every week you're pestering me, trying to get me to go out and do things that you know is going to defile my conscience. And I partake one time, and I like that thing so much I just can't quit it. And for long, it ain't between churches and place of church. You know what you've done? You've offended somebody's conscience. You've used your liberty that you have as a Christian and offended somebody, a brother, in a negative way. If I have a Catholic friend I'm witnessing to, I finally got this guy agreed to come over and have supper at my house. I've been witnessing to him and talking to him and telling him to burn his statues and quit drinking that liquor. You know how we witness. And I get him to come over to my house on Friday, and I know they don't eat meat on Friday. And I cook up us up a bunch of T-bones just to show him what kind of knowledge I have, what kind of liberty I have, what kind he done. You know what I've done? I have used my liberty in a way that I just will take that witness I've been doing and throw that thing out the window. Amen. And I like a T-bone. I eat T-bone every day. But I should be willing to put aside to help somebody, shouldn't I? How far should I go for others? You know, some people are just borderline Christians. They won't know how close they can get that line. Like a child. Don't you touch that nigga standing right here and look at him. You ever seen a child be like that? Don't you touch that. Boy, don't you want to beat him? Yes, they can beat that out of him. That's the way some Christians are, though. They won't know how far they can go right up to the point where I'm going to offend God to where He's going to, I don't know, cast me into hell, kill my family, whatever. They want to get right up to that point, right? How far should I go with this? Liberty. Putting things aside that are lawful for me in order to not offend others or to help others. Paul gave up meat. Man, redneck in South Carolina ain't giving up no sausage. You can't live without that. Can you live without sausage? We ain't doing that, are we? Paul gave up meat. You know what Jesus gave up? Heaven. Jesus gave up heaven. He didn't have to come. Man, he was God. He's God right now as we speak, isn't he? He didn't have to come. He chose to give it up for the benefit of mankind. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 with me. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Paul gave up meat. That's a big sacrifice, isn't it? In order to help somebody. Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, gave up heaven. The place that you and I want to go. He freely and willingly gave it up and came to this earth to live the kind of life that he lived. Not in the palace. Look at 2 Corinthians 8. Look at verse number 9. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. How rich was he? Man, he had it all. He had his heaven and glory and the seraphims and holy, holy. He had it all. And he gave it all up, became to be born in a manger, in a stable with the animals. And he lived in a poor old beat down carpenter's home. I can't get no amen from y'all carpenter boys. And I said, amen. Didn't have it all. Whip, spat on, somebody spit on him. Now he left heaven for that. That you and I might be saved. Nails through his hands and his feet, hung up on a cross. That's what he left heaven for. You know what he left heaven for? He left heaven for you and I. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians, how far should I go with this? How far did Paul go with it? How far did Jesus go with it? Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse number 1. Philippians 2 and 1, the Bible says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, Jesus, others, and yourself, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. That's Christian liberty. You think of more of somebody else, and you think of your own wants and needs and desires. Look at verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. God, the true and living God is who Jesus Christ is. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. You know what that cross is? That's the same cross that you're saved by. That cross that he hung on and shed his blood. That's what we believe in. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the gospel. How far should I take it? Jesus, God, took it so far as to leave heaven and come to this earth and humble himself and hang on a cross and shed his blood and give his life that wretches like Brother James Martin might be saved. How far should I take this, brother? You say, well, you know, Jesus was God, and you know, he's just God. He can just do what he chooses. I'm just a man. I'm just a woman. You know, I'm just. Turn to Romans chapter 9. Let me show you how far Paul, a man, was willing to take this Christian liberty thing. Paul, a man, born again just like you and I, saved just like you and I, same way by faith in Jesus Christ, going home to the same heaven you and I are. Look at Romans chapter 9, look at verse number 1. Paul said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. First thing he said was, I ain't lying. You ever say that? Man, I'm going to tell you the truth. I ain't even going to lie. You either about to tell somebody the truth or tell the biggest lie you ever told in your life, ain't you? Well, this is the Bible, so I expect Paul's about to tell us the truth. He said that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. You know what Paul said? Paul said, my wish is that if God will allow it to happen, that I could be accursed from Christ and I could go to hell, that all my brethren might be saved. Now he couldn't, because he was saved. It's our security, amen. He couldn't do it. But Paul said that was his heart's desire. He had such love and such concern for his brothers, the nation of Israel, that he himself was willing to give up Jesus Christ and be accursed if they could be saved. Christian liberty is our life being about others, not about ourselves. Brother D, you pray for us.